This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts. Free your mind!
Sex worker, and yes, it does. In those biblical sense, I am beyond repentance. Fang hooker, sex worker, wench, thou makes her mind.
Listen up close while I take it backwards. Oh, okay, begins to gather to me, which I want. I'm not a prostitute.
Sex workers,
but I can give you what you want.
That's a shotgun. Needs an icon. I'm a prostitute.
Sex worker, damn it.
Get some.
Tuned in to the Vixen Hour. Sex workers setting the record straight on Australia's first gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9. Red Umbrella Radio.
That's right. You have tuned into the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. The Vixen Hour is your weekly radio show that explores life, issues and the world from a sex worker's perspective. This is your opportunity to challenge the stereotypes and prejudice that you may have about sex work and hear from the actual voices of sex workers ourselves. We are out loud and proud. This is the only community radio program in the world that is both publicly broadcasted and available online all the time. That is 100% produced and presented by sex workers. Turn it up.
All discussions presented on Vixen Hour are made in the interests of community information and are not intended to induce any individual to seek employment in the sex industry. For more information in this area, we recommend individuals to get in contact with their local sex work organisation. The Vixen Hour. Everyone has an opinion about sex work. Make yours an informed one.
Joy 94.9.
If at any point you would like to interact with the program, you can do so by sending us a text message on 0427-JOY949, that's 0427-569-949, or sending us an email at onair@joy.org.au. And in the studio joining me for tonight's awesome show is the fabulous Erin Walker. Hi, Erin.
Hello, good evening, everyone.
And it's fabulous to have you back in the studio. So for people who may not know the fabulous Erin Walker, I'm just going to keep prefacing your name with the fabulous.
Oh, feel free. I accept this title.
Amazing. So for people who aren't familiar with your fabulousness, how would you introduce yourself?
That is a good question. I'm always so bad at this.
On the spot. So people might know you from Twitter.
Yes, I seem to have quite a following there now, especially since last time.
So last time you were here, you talked about coming out as a sex worker, and I think there was an amazing follow-up to the end of that show when somebody tweeted you that they were actually listening to the program.
Yes, they did. The show was about coming out as a sex worker, and I described that, I wasn't exactly out, but I wasn't hiding either. I was kind of dancing naked out of the closet waiting for someone to realize, and my father was listening to the program. Uh-huh. That went down surprisingly well. I got off air and, had about 40 million messages from him being like, I love you, I support you. That's beautiful.
That's really, really wonderful to
hear.
Yay. And people might know you because you also moderate a website.
I do. I run a single girl myself, a porn site.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yay. So, and if people wanted to follow you on Twitter, how could they find you?
My username is Naughty Nerdy, which kind of applies everywhere. Tumblr, YouTube, Twitter, whatever social medium you like. I'm probably on it under the username Naughty Nerdy.
Fantastic. Now, tonight's show, the reason I've gotten you onto tonight's show relates to that name, Naughty Nerdy. So we are actually going to be talking about science fiction, fantasy, and sex work, and how sex work features in each of those genres, if you like. And specifically, we're talking about TV shows. So we were going to be focusing on Game of Thrones.
Yes, very popular at the moment. Mm-hmm. And we've got another HBO one as well. We've got Deadwood.
Deadwood.
It's a little bit older, but still a classic.
Yeah.
And Firefly.
All good, because we can talk about it without spoiling anything.
Which is so good. Same as Firefly, and that one's my favourite.
Yeah.
So.
Awesome. So when we're talking about fantasy and science fiction, and I mean, these are all really, I guess, highly consumed examples of popular culture, and each of them has their own cult following and whatever. And sex work does feature a lot in each one of those genres.
I wouldn't say a lot, but considering how much, you know, media there is that doesn't fall into science fiction and yeah. fantasy, there is quite a bit.
I guess when we look at sort of fantasy and science fiction writers, quite often we're talking about, generally speaking,
very generally speaking.
It's not written by actual sex workers.
No, it's generally white, straight, middle class guys.
Men. Yeah. Cis men. And quite often they are also sort of appealing to a particular audience. Although if you look at sort of science fiction conventions and Comic-Con, I think the crowd is diversifying a bit more.
How would you say? It's definitely diversifying a lot, especially as time goes on. People are becoming more and more accepting mm-hmm. of a larger group of people being fans of various pop culture, which is nice.
Yeah. And I guess when we're looking at those genres, we're talking about genres that heavily rely on what we'd call tropes.
Absolutely.
Is that a fair sort of statement?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So how would you describe what a trope is?
I hope I don't say this wrong. I suppose the easiest way to explain it is a trope is a shorthand version to explain something. Maybe it will be the way a character looks or a bunch of small things that will happen to establish something about a character, a scene, pretty much anything. It's just kind of a shorthand version that will lead you to believe something about whatever they wish you to believe without having to go into too much depth.
Yeah, and I suppose the more a trope is used,
it becomes a cliche if it's overused or if it's quite ridiculous, I guess.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's lots of examples of different types of tropes that, you know, sort of pertain to different types of people. But for sex workers, there are certainly a number of tropes that are used, I guess, not only in science fiction and in fantasy, but I guess in literature and in media.
Media and just culture generally. There are not as many stereotypes regarding strictly to sex workers as you think, but the majority of them are quite negative, unsurprisingly, or perhaps just unsurprisingly to us.
I suppose when you are a sex worker and you're watching a lot of popularly consumed media, you do sort of recognise,
they're playing that again.
That sex worker again.
Yeah.
And I can pretty much predict how this story is going to end.
And it's probably pretty badly for the worker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I suppose I wanted to sort of focus on these three examples, though, because I think each one of them does something interesting with those tropes. And I guess we'll get into that in a bit more detail later on. Mm-hmm. If at any point you would like to join into the conversation, you can send us a text message on 0427 569 949. Email at onair@joy.org.au. You were also on social media, and you can message us tonight if you wanted to communicate directly with us, but you can also stay connected with the Vixen Hour all throughout the week by liking our Facebook page at facebook.com/sexworkerradio, and on Twitter we are at Vixen Hour, all one word. It's going to be an awesome show. We do have to go to some messages now. You're on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Mics on probably would be a good idea. You're on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. That did catch me a bit off guard. Sorry about that, folks. You are here with Christian and Erin, and we are speaking all about sex work in popular culture, namely science fiction and fantasy, namely television.
Yes.
And the first example that we are going to bring up is the cult. I'm trying to use cult as an adjective. The cultly popular.
Not quite how you'd use it, but I think it'll pass for this example.
The subculturally popular. There we
there
go.
We go.
Science fiction television program that was very short-lived, produced by Joss Whedon, Firefly. Mm. So for people who aren't familiar with the TV series, Firefly is kind of like...
Cowboys in space. Yeah. Oh, come on. It so is Cowboys
yeah,
in space.
Yeah, it is totally Cowboys in space. And it's kind of combined, it as Joss Whedon is wont to do, crashes a lot of genres together. And I think for the most part, it is an interesting ride to be on. It's about a bunch of outcasts who live this highly...
A bunch of rogues on a ship defying the government, but they're really good people at the end of the day. They're just unfortunately on the wrong side of things.
Yeah, yeah. Or the law.
Yeah.
And one of the main characters in the show is Inara Serra, who is a sex worker. And in the Firefly universe, her job title is companion. And I thought I'd play a little soundbite from the show. This is from... It actually happens in smack bang in the middle of the series. And it's a scene that's told in flashback of when Inara first comes on board the ship and her interaction with Mal, the captain, who is sort of the main protagonist of the show. So here we go.
Well, here she is. Nice, isn't she?
Smallish.
Not overly. Which room do you really need for what you do, anyway? I got a surveyor and his wife interested in renting it. They're just waiting to hear back.
What's her range?
Standard short. She'll break Atmo from a wide orbit. Get you where you need to go, bring you back home again. She's space-worthy, just like the rest of Serenity is.
No need to sound so defensive, Captain. I prefer something with a few miles on it. Were we to enter into this arrangement, Captain Reynolds, there are a few things I would require from you. The foremost being complete autonomy. The shuttle would be my home. No crew member, including yourself, would be allowed entrance without my express invitation.
You'd get your privacy.
And just so we're clear, under no circumstances will I be servicing you or anyone who is under your employ.
I'll post a sign.
That won't be necessary. The other thing I would insist upon is some measure of assurance that when I make an appointment with a client, I'm in a position to keep that appointment. So far as such assurances are possible on a vessel of this type.
That's an awful lot of caveats and addendums there, miss.
As I stated, I just want to be clear.
Well, I'll be sure to take all that into consideration while I review the application.
Don't be ridiculous. You're going to rent this shuttle to me.
Am I?
Yes, and for one quarter less than your asking price.
Is that a fact?
It is.
And you figure you'll be getting this discount. Why, exactly?
You want me. You want me on your ship.
Do I?
Yes. Because I can bring something that your surveyor or any of the other fish you might have online can't. A certain respectability.
Respect.
And based on what little I've seen of your operation, I suspect that's something you could use...
Fine. Let me ask you this. If you're so respectable, why are you even here? I mean, I've heard tell of fancy ladies such as yourself shipping out with big luxury liners and the like, but a registered companion on a boat like this? What are you running from?
I'm not running from anything.
If it's alliance trouble you got, you might want to consider another ship. Some on board here fought for the independence.
The alliance has no quarrel with me. I supported unification.
Did you? Well, I don't suppose you're the only whore that did.
Oh, one further addendum. That's the last time you get to call me whore.
Absolutely. Never again.
That was a scene from the episode Out of Gas. I think episode 8 in the Firefly series. Somebody can text in and correct me if that's wrong. Speaking of texting in, we have had a few messages. Hi, Aaron. Love Rubik's Cube. And hi, Christian and Aaron. Love the Vixen Hour from Scotty. Thanks, Scotty, for your message. And love the show. Great info from Des in Footscray. Thank you, Des, for your awesome
guys.
Words. If you would like to text in, you can do so, like Scotty, Des, and Rubik's on on 0427 569 949, or sending us an email at onair@joy.org.au. It'd be awesome to hear from you. So, Inara.
I absolutely love Inara. She's so sassy.
She is sassy. And in that really, I guess, you know, and I think that's it's evident in that soundbite that she's very strong and forthright.
But she very much is. And she's a complete character as well. I do like that she is one of the main cast.
Yeah, and that a sex worker would be a main character in...
Yeah, and it's quite casual as well. And, you know, there's multiple scenes and episodes where she features quite heavily and has storylines entirely dedicated to her life, which is nice.
Yeah. Now, you love this show.
I do. I really like Firefly.
And, I mean, I enjoy watching the show. I mean, I enjoy science fiction in general. But I guess one of the questions that I want to ask is, as a sex worker, this Firefly has received quite a bit of criticism in its portrayal of sex work, which is, I think, a lot of people who are familiar with Firefly may be surprised by. But, I mean, reading a lot of, I guess, the feedback around Joss Whedon's production, sex workers seem to have critiqued things like over-positively stereotyping sex workers. Yeah. Well, as a sex worker who loves the show, what's sort of your reaction to it?
I think a lot of the criticism is very, very valid. You know, Joss wants to portray sex work, obviously, in a very positive way, but I think he goes quite over the top about it, which isn't necessarily a good thing. I mean, it really reinforces, you know, this good versus bad whore dichotomy.
Yeah.
As such, you know, Inara is incredibly strong, intelligent, she's educated, she's eloquent, she's healthy, she's, you know, all these things that are absolutely fantastic. But it's very much portrayed that she is the good, you know, she's a companion, she's not a whore, she's, you know, government registered and heartily approved of by the white male government. And
And this idea that, you know, because I think, you know, that, I mean, there was sort of an attempt to overcome some stereotypes in that scene when she was like, oh, I'm the one who's bringing respectability to your ship. Like, as if, you know, it's her role to sort of overcome a lot of those, I guess, negative stereotypes that sex workers today experience. But at the same time, it does, I guess, create an unrealistic ideal of what a sex worker is supposed to be.
It does. It's very elitist and academic, the way that she's portrayed as the okay kind of sex worker because of the things that she does. And there's nothing wrong with those things. That would, you know, don't we all wish we could be super well educated and whatnot, but
it's
quite sterile. It's very, you know, and in the Firefly universe, we know that the government is pretty evil as well. So to know that she's government approved by this evil, corrupt government is, you know, a bit.
And one of the things that sort of sex worker critiques have picked up is that Joss doesn't actually challenge a lot of, I guess, the societal structures that reinforce sort of stereotypes and criminalization of sex workers. So
he doesn't at all, no. He just relies on the same old tropes and tries to just put a positive spin on things instead of actually challenging anything. And I understand why that's been done by him. I think that was quite deliberate. But the positive stereotyping is still stereotyping, and stereotyping in and of itself is not helpful and by its very nature offensive. So.
It's interesting because I think it's still... okay, we know it's in the future, so it's not going to present a realistic representation of sex workers. But at the same time, it also, it does reinforce sort of things like mandatory testing. Like in one of the episodes, she goes off for her annual health check.
And has a bit of a whine that, you know, sitting on the cold doctor's tables is rather unpleasant.
Yeah. But in, like, I guess in our real world reality, that's quite a struggle that sex workers are trying to convince the broader community about, is that, you know, mandatory testing is actually an infringement on our human rights.
And absolutely.
I mean, because they leave out that whole discussion, it becomes really obvious that there wasn't, although there is a sex worker being portrayed on the screen, that there wasn't really much consultation to create that character.
Very much so. And while they discuss her as a character, they certainly don't go into the work. Although I did like that they put it in there about the government, you know, doing tests and stuff. Just gives you a little bit more of an insight into evil government and the things that they do, because in the context of, you know, the Firefly universe, being a companion, which is the label they have for sex workers who are part of the guild, isn't a bad thing. You're considered quite, you know, high class. It's very acceptable. You know, you have to be very well educated and things. So it's considered quite a good thing. But yeah. I mean, that's
but then it reinforces this sort of classist, elitist,
absolutely, like, totally, like, classist infrastructure.
Yeah.
And that, yeah, the good versus bad whore dichotomy.
Yeah.
It's really and a hierarchy as well.
Yeah. So it's okay if you're the good educated type of sex worker.
Yeah.
But if you're anything other than that, then that might be a problem.
And that is discussed in the episode Heart of Gold, which is later, one of the later episodes, where you meet a character called Nandi, who worked with Inara or studied with her, something along those lines, and decided that the life of a companion wasn't for her, as it was too strict, and she would rather just hike out to the border planets and start her own brothel, because be damned if going to follow these ridiculous government regulations. And can't we all relate to that as workers? I'm pretty sure. Generalization, but I'm pretty sure we can all agree with you there, Nandi.
Yeah, and it's and I mean, it's not explored in any sort of comprehensive way, but a lot of sex workers do sort of do that. Like, you know, if you work sort of in the legalized system here in Victoria, for example, a lot of it is geared around, well, it doesn't really focus on, I guess, making you thrive as an individual employee or a worker or a business.
Well, that's discounted. It's not considered important.
Mm.
It's considered important that you fit into certain guidelines, and we don't want to hear from you.
Yeah.
Just do these things and be quiet is the ideal.
Yeah. So I guess the narrative of the sex worker that breaks away and goes to be independent, although he's a recurring one, is one that I guess can reflect a degree of realism.
I actually think that Nandi's character was much more relatable than Inara's.
Yeah.
Perhaps that's just for myself, but I know quite a few people who really liked the storyline of the episode Heart of Gold.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You are on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. We're going to go to a song, but we'll be right back to discuss, what are we talking about next? Discuss Deadwood.
Deadwood.
I love Deadwood. You're in the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9.
A voice for sex workers. The Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9.
You're in the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. If you would like to send us a text message, you can do so by texting in on 0427-JOY-949. That's 0427-569-949. You're in the Vixen Hour here with Erin and Christian, and we are talking about popular culture, TV, fantasy.
The fun stuff.
The fun things. All the fun things. We did just talk about Firefly. We're now going to move to... Was Firefly HBO?
No, it was not.
Okay. Well, we're moving to a HBO series now.
We've got two coming up, actually.
Two coming up. So the first one we're going to talk about was another short, it felt like way too short-lived series, Deadwood. So Deadwood was set in around about 1870 in Deadwood, South Dakota. It was described as one of the, at the time period, was described as one of the last great American gold rushes. And it's sort of entirely set in a fledgling little starting up town called Deadwood, and follows a lot of the characters there. So we're going to play a soundbite just to sort of to give the listener a feel for the show. Now, there is a language warning.
Language warning out the wazoo.
For anybody who has watched Deadwood, they'll know language is a massive feature of the show. And coarse language does feature frequently. I also have to explain a bit of context. So it's a conversation between two characters, Trixie and Calamity Jane. And it's a historical revisioning. So a lot of these characters are based on historical figures. Trixie is sort of based on a historical figure, although she's not...
rather loosely, but...
Really loosely, yeah. She's sort of based on a reference in a medical record more than anything, which is a kind of random way to build a character. But anyway, so this is a conversation between her and Calamity Jane. She's really pissed off because the man that she's experiencing some sexual tension with has just had a fight with her, and he's an accountant. accountant, and when she's I have to explain the language. She refers to herself as speaking as an effing Jew, but what she's really describing is speaking as an accountant, because that's sort of
the terrible slang of the time.
Exactly. So we just wanted to be clear that this was not a racist statement that we were
putting
to air.
Context is key.
Oh my God, so much context is key. Anyway, we'll go to the soundbite. You're on. This is from Deadwood, and you're on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9.
Now that's fucking progress.
Cocksucker upstairs. Across the way, whorehouse where I work.
He is a fucking cocksucker.
Locks the fucking door so people can't get to help him. Fucking ashamed to be sick.
You know he had it designed to murder that little one.
No, I didn't.
Hell yes, he had it designed. Charlie and me spirited her from camp, forced him to a second victim more suitable to his cocksucker's purpose.
Think they're any different if they've had their fucking dicks cut on? They ain't no fucking different. You gotta like their friends, or they won't teach you numbers or every other fucking regulation they set.
Anyways.
Far as it fucking goes. He also brought the cripple from that orphanage.
What orphanage?
Don't buy his bullshit about the 9-cent trick.
What cripple?
Jewel. That he says he's got around against some hooplehead only having 9 cents and wanting a piece of pussy. That ain't it. Why she's around is... it's his sick fucking way of protecting her.
I'm gonna get whiskey.
There's entries on both sides of the fucking ledger, is the fucking point. As I already talk like a fucking Jew.
Shaping up to be a nice, cool evening. Maybe he has a good side to him, too, that I entirely fucking missed. It's always fucking possible, drunk as I am fucking continuously. It's nice to see you.
Oh, my God.
A beautifully coherent conversation between Trixie the Worker and Calamity Jane.
Oh, my. I keep forgetting how much swearing is in that TV show. But, yeah, that's very much what it was like. But, you know, the interesting thing was... It's a historical revisioning, and a lot of it is historically accurate. So a lot of the characters are based on actual people, like real people who existed. The sex workers, though, aren't included in a lot of historical texts. I mean, Trixie is the name of a sex worker who shot someone in the head in the town of Deadwood, and that's where she gets her name from, and it's from a medical record. And, I mean, that scene plays out in the TV show. It actually opens up the whole series. But that's where the character's name comes from, and there's nothing else is historically known about that character except for that reference in a medical record, and they sort of built this whole series around her. So again, one of the main characters in a TV show. Now, it does sort of tell the story of a frontier town in the late 1800s in America that was just setting up, beyond the rule of law, if you like, and these are very difficult lives that are being told. So quite often there are a lot of sex workers present in the TV show. It's a tiny little town, like village encampment, if you like,
with two brothels full of people. Like,
exactly.
There's a lot of sex workers in that show. Only two main characters, though.
Yeah,
but
two named
main characters who have frequent lines and their own story arcs.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, these are quite complex characters. So, like in that soundbite, there's a lot of swearing and stuff. But if you sort of filter through all of that, you find that these are women complaining about their relationship with the men of the town, but that those relationships can be quite complex, which I guess brings us to, you know, people live really hard lives in this show.
Absolutely.
And the sex workers especially. How would you know it? And quite often it can be quite a difficult show to watch, just because
absolutely violence warnings as well, like trigger warnings for absolutely everything through that show. It is a really tough slog. monologue, but yeah. I really enjoy it, actually, as much mm-hmm. as there is a lot of violence against workers and things. That, you know, and as much as I want positive stories about sex work, mm. this is a historically vaguely based show, and you yeah. know, not everyone's lives are fantastic, mm. Especially historically, and a lot of the workers featured in Deadwood are slaves,
yeah.
Not officially, but technically they are slaves, yeah. So, you know,
when you look at the sort of working conditions that they face and yeah. you know, the amount of agency that they have,
and a lot
it's
of them were bought. I mean, Trixie and the women working at the gem were bought by Squarengen from the orphanage where he grew up, where his mother left him, who was a sex worker,
yeah. And I mean, that's a historic documented thing,
yeah.
That's yeah, and it does feature in the show. And also sex workers sort of, and they do bring a lot of those complex lives with them, but these are actual, I mean, the stories that they do try to tell are reflecting, I guess, the conditions of the time,
and yeah, it is they're very much stories of the downtrodden worker, and which is a very important story to tell. Mm-hmm.
As a sex worker, it's hard to watch a lot of media because of, you know, things like stereotypes and tropes. But how did you view Deadwood?
It was really hard for me simply because it was really violent, mm-hmm. really aggressive. One of the first scenes featuring a sex worker is Trixie having shot a man in the head mm. and then is punished for it by the man who runs the brothel, and he beats the ever-loving heck out of her.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a nice thing to watch.
No.
But I don't feel that it was glamorized or fetishized in any way. I think yeah. it was a great juxtaposition to really point out. It is a great introduction to the horrible lives of the people who
yeah.
who were stuck working in Deadwood.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I think their relationship as well as sort of brothel owner slash some sort of relationship, and it is a domestically violent relationship that is being portrayed, but at the same time, not an overly simplistic one. So
absolutely not. The relationship between Squarengen and Trixie, you know, I believe that they love each other very much.
Yeah.
Some interesting parallels with domestic violence in the modern day. It's a very interesting relationship that they have.
Yeah. Yeah, and That sort of refusing to oversimplify is a sort of consistent thing throughout Deadwood. So
it is. It's something that I haven't seen with many other television shows. Mm-hmm. Focusing on sex workers, I feel like the characters in Deadwood who are sex workers are much more developed
yeah.
than other characters I've seen. And, you know, Firefly, for example, as we've just discussed that, you know, Inara Serra is, you know, a rather complex character and she's well developed, but she's very much the good whore. And I
yeah.
feel like Deadwood steers away from the good whore, bad whore dichotomy and, you know, classist things. None of the characters are inherently good or inherently evil who are sex workers.
Yeah.
They're very complex. They're very well written. They are entire people and very, very believable. You can understand their motivations.
Yeah.
It's pretty uncommon to see. I actually can't name anything else where they've gone so in depth to it.
Yeah.
In the science fiction, fantasy, historical kind of
genre.
This kind of stuff. It's,
yeah.
it's quite specific.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Surprising for male writers too. I was quite impressed.
Yeah. Well, interestingly, when we were talking about this show and what it describes, and you use the word downtrodden, the French word for the French word for downtrodden is Les Misérables,
yep.
which is, you know, another, I guess, written by male and has a portrayal of a sex worker as a main character in that as well. We probably won't go into detail of that because we are talking about...
Got to stick to these ones until we run out of time.
You are on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. You're with Erin and Christian. We are talking about lots of different television shows and their treatment of sex work, including sci-fi, fantasy, and historical drama. You are here on the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9.
You are on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. We've received a message. Lots of sci-fi stuff has sex bots, human-looking androids for sex. Blade Runner is a big one. And the film AI, Jude Law has one called Gigolo Joe from Grebo.
You are not wrong, Grebo, and I would love to discuss Blade Runner at length, but that's probably for a YouTube video because my love for that is endless.
And look, you know, we're talking about three TV shows for this episode, but this is a discussion that we can have over and over again. So I
absolutely.
Think...
absolutely.
Sex work and pop culture. I think we're going to call this series the Pop Sex Work program, and we'll probably bring in other examples as we go along. But we have chosen three tonight, and the last one that we've picked is one
the ever popular Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
Yay. And this part comes with a spoiler warning. I will try, and if you've watched season one and season two, okay. Mm-hmm. But anything in season three, I will try and say spoiler warning before I.
And that includes me, because like I don't have cable, and so I've only watched box sets of things. Cool. So Game of Thrones is based in the fictional land of Westeros. Based on the fantasy novel by
George R.R. Martin.
Absolutely. So it's very medieval, I guess.
It is. It's medieval, and the high fantasy is it's on its way.
Yeah. So lots of kings and wars and knights and things.
Dragons.
And sex workers. Everywhere. Again.
Everywhere.
I guess it's like one of the running themes throughout, I guess, all three of these stories is they're kind of frontier stories. Like
I wouldn't say frontier, but they're definitely on the verge of things. Frontier very much for Firefly and for Deadwood.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say that for Game of Thrones.
No, it's...
But they are on a changing tide.
Absolutely. And Game of Thrones, women don't have many occupations, but sex workers are featured heavily. So women are generally, you know, royalty or a witch, or there's one that tries to usurp the gender stereotypes and becomes a knight.
Oh, the only true knight there is Brienne of Tarth.
But generally, the most common occupation that you see on screen for women is sex worker.
Oh, waifu.
Wife, yes.
That counts as an occupation. It's loosely medieval based.
So how do you see... So there are a couple of sex worker characters in Game of Thrones. So we've got Roz and Shay.
Yes.
I thought I'd play a soundbite from the TV show. And this one sort of introduces Shay. So it's a scene where that's very early on in her sort of narrative arc, if you like.
And very early. It's her meeting
Tyrion Lannister,
the imp.
Yeah. Here we go. They play a drinking game.
Let's do something I'm good at.
What are you good at?
I happen to be a great judge of character.
This sounds like a boring game.
It's not. Here's how it works. I make a statement about your past. If I'm right, you drink. If I'm wrong, I drink. And no lying. I'll know if you're lying.
I don't want to play.
It's fun. Look at the fun we're having. Your mother was a whore.
Drink.
All right. Your father left the family when you were very young, never to return.
Drink.
And we've established the rules about lying.
Drink.
You wanted a different life. You came from somewhere and you wanted to be elsewhere.
The old shit-stained world could drink off that one.
Right, so specifics. You wanted to be elsewhere, but how would you get there? Don't believe the life of the Silent Sisters is for you. So, what's a low-born girl to do?
Drink.
Are you sure?
Drink! And don't talk about my mother and father ever. Or I will carve your eyes from your head.
My dear lady, if I have offended you, I apologize.
Oh, we didn't need a language warning for that.
No.
So, yes, that's the scene that introduces Shay. And I think, well, one of the differences, like when one of the critiques of the books are that the characters, particularly the sex worker characters, they're just sex workers.
And they're not developed in any way. They are basically empty shells. They're treated in very much the same way. I mean, most of it's through the eyes of the nobles, and they're described very much like the mercenaries, save for Bronn.
Yeah. So, but the interest, I'm not sure if this conversation, this drinking game appears in the novels. If somebody knows, they can text in 0427 Joy 949. But one of the interesting things that happens in when they made the television series is they cast somebody who happened to have an accent in the role of Shay. So it meant that they also had to try to explain where her accent comes from because no one else sort of has it in that setting. So this scene happens and it's trying, I guess, to delve into the fact that this person is a human being and has a history.
And is not the stereotypical history either.
Absolutely.
No abused past, this, that, the other. She's
abandoning
like,
father. Drink. Responsibly. We don't...
Yes, we don't encourage alcoholism.
So how do you sort of see the portrayal of sex work in Game of Thrones?
I'll have to remember to stick to the television show and not the books. In the television show, they're much more fleshed out and they are actual mm-hmm. characters. And I'd like to point out that Roz is an amalgamation of a few characters. She's mm-hmm. the one to, you know, she's like the Buffy of the... all the hoes.
Yeah, yeah.
But they are much more fleshed out, mm-hmm. Which is nice in a way, but not fleshed out enough to really do anything for yeah. me. They're still just used as character development for other characters. Mm-hmm. And I really want a spoiler warning. Uh-huh. So spoiler warning for season 3. We never actually get to find out the backstory of Shay. You know, the conversation that was just played between her and Tyrion is kind of interesting. I really wanted to know where she came from because, you know, we've got some tropes right waiting to be subverted that I'm just desperate to know about, but we never find out.
No.
And very disappointing that they went to so much detail in the show to flesh these characters out and then to, spoiler warning, brutally murder them and glamorize and fetishize their deaths so needlessly, and it was for character development for characters who didn't need to be developed anymore. In that sense, we already know that Joffrey and Littlefinger are psychotically evil. That really didn't need to be in there. It was very disappointing.
Yeah. Oh, look, that's a shame.
It is a shame.
I suppose, was there anything sort of positive about, I guess, the portrayal of sex work? I mean, there was this, it looked like there was a need to overcome stereotypes. It looks like there was a real desire to overcome stereotypes.
Specifically with Shay, which I did like quite a lot. I'm just sad that they developed it and then let go of that. So much potential wasted.
Yeah. For a mainstream, I guess, series of novels that has made it to the screen, do you think it's the popularity of fantasy has, I guess, allowed sex workers to be portrayed in a different way? I mean, bringing it to the screen, I think, adds an extra set of eyes to it. So,
absolutely.
There was, I guess, identified a need to develop these characters more than they had been in the texts.
Unfortunately, I don't believe that was done, you know, to voice anything mm-hmm. about sex workers. I think it was just simply, you know, Game of Thrones is well known for its smackdowns. Spoilers, yeah. Red Wedding, for example.
Yeah.
I think that they were simply developed so that they could be women in refrigerator trope.
Yeah. What does that mean?
Straight up.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, probably the best way to describe it.
Refrigerator trope.
Yeah. But no, the most appropriate trope would be the disposable sex worker trope, which is a mm-hmm. subtrope of death by sex, which is the very outstandingly most common trope associated with sex work in general media.
Yeah. And this has been sort of described in various ways. So when people talk about, for example, crime television series,
it's always dead hooker in an alley setup.
Exactly.
Or
the body in the dumpster.
Yeah, Jack the Ripper, for example. That's all. Yeah, they're not people. They're just bodies. And that is the most common trope for sex workers. They're not people. They're bodies.
Yeah, and I think it's
dead bodies.
It's very much linked to a moralistic judgment of sex workers. So because sex workers are sort of seen as being of questionable morality,
then it's not quite as bad and you don't need to go in depth and explain it. It's just, they were taking a gamble. They kind of got what they deserved, but sad, and we must penalize them because it's illegal nonetheless.
Yeah.
Which is very sad.
Yeah. We have had a message here on the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9. You're with Erin and Christian. And the message is, Defiance is another new frontier-y sci-fi show on Foxtel with a sex worker character amongst its core cast. She's a brothel owner. Can't tell you much about her character. She's only really properly introduced in 4 or so episodes, and I'm only up to episode 2. Well, thanks for that, anonymous.
Thanks for the shout-out. Always need more sci-fi, Rex.
Yeah, absolutely. You are on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. You're with Erin and Christian.
I'm Dr. Brooke Mignanti, formerly known as Belle du Jour, and you're listening to the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
You are on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. We've just been discussing sex work as it is portrayed in three television shows incorporating the genres of
fantasy, sci-fi, historical, blah, blah, blah. What did you call it before? You had a word for it.
Historical drama? I can't remember. Anyway, yeah. Frontier.
Frontier
drama. Well, look, considering that, you know, there is this heavy reliance on tropes and stereotypes,
which are generally extremely negative.
Yeah.
I think the only good sex worker trope there is Hooker with a Heart of Gold. And yeah. Again, that's not particularly positive. It's just not murder heavy.
Yeah. So I guess, how does a sex worker consume, I guess, so much from an industry that does stereotype us a lot?
Being a fantasy and sci-fi lover, it can be quite hard, but I think you need to take things for what they are and accept that everything has problematic aspects.
Mm.
So, you know, if we stopped watching anything that had, you know, negative stereotyping or that was problematic, we would have no media to consume whatsoever.
Yeah.
You know, these shows, for example, have been trying to at least do something about it, especially Deadwood, which subverts quite a few tropes that I'm quite fond of.
Yeah. It's interesting. Throughout, I guess, the brutality of Deadwood, it does maintain an interesting level of humanity to it.
It does. And all the sex worker characters are treated as human, not by some of the characters, but definitely by the narrative.
Yeah.
I mean, as I said, the most popular trope for sex workers is a disposable sex worker. Mm-hmm. And that does play out in Deadwood. But then again, it's sort of subverted because she's not just forgotten. It is minor characters, not main characters, but they feel incredibly bad about her death and continue to think of it. And she's a real person, which does kind of subvert that trope, which is nice for a change.
Yeah, and it's interesting because if people are familiar with that sort of plot line to fill in the gaps, they basically have to choose a sex worker that is going to die in place of somebody else. But it's not this sort of, oh, random, we'll just pick someone and
we'll just pick a hoe because that's easy.
It was
one of the sex workers was going to die and the person who had to make that choice was in love with her, so obviously chose someone else and was very unhappy about it.
So they did go to some effort to add an extra layer of humanism to that.
Most things don't bother. That was, and I think it was well done as well. It wasn't just some slapped in, oh yeah, we feel bad because we killed someone.
Yeah. No, it was a...
Especially considering she wasn't a main plotline character. She was just background decoration for quite some time. So it was nice that they really filled that in and had one of the main characters have feels. Oh. Feels about it. She was a real person. So
it was sad but great at the same time. Oh. Erin, it is 2 minutes to 12. As we said, we could talk about this forever.
Absolutely ever. But only three shows and scratched the surface of each by such a tiny amount.
I know. But thank you so much for being part of the Vixen Hour this evening.
Thank you very much for having me.
We may have to invite you back in case we do check out other sort of science fiction representations of sex workers.
That would be great. If anyone has any recommendations or things they'd like to discuss, by the way, please do send messages either to myself or I assume I can speak on your behalf, but your behalf, and say send them into the Vixen Hour.
The best way to get in contact with the Vixen Hour is to like our Facebook page and send us messages via there. So that's facebook.com/sexworkerradio. Also on Twitter, our handle is @VixenHour. This has been the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. We will be back next week at 11 p.m. But for now, from Erin and myself, it is good night.
Have a lovely night, everyone.
And we will see you next week. This has been the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.